Okay, we're back. There are, of course, an awful lot of people around the world listening right now and who will continue to read Henry Mackow, Ph.D.'s story about Ben Fulford. We'll have more from Ben at Rents.com. And they are probably cheering for this, or they're certainly entertaining this concept and this program with a great deal of guarded optimism, shall we say. It'd be nice to see that the status quo, which is quite clearly hell-bent on creating an Armageddon, could be stopped somehow. Okay, yeah. Ben, a lot of things to touch on. You want to do any follow-up right now on anything in particular? Then we'll go
on to
the next
thing, area. Getting back to GT, you know, the 20th century was supposed to be a century wonder, you know, with unlimited free electricity.
Tesla, of course, was the man who had that and offered it to us, but it was not allowed to be accepted.
That's right, that's part of why they killed my great-grandfather, because he was going to finance Tesla. So they turned it into a century of horror. They need war, they need fear to control people. If things get too peaceful, then they cannot keep things under control. But what has happened, and this is important, this is the big rift, this sort of global warming, war on terror thing, is that the radical faction that wants to go ahead with Armageddon are the war on terror people. And they're all allied, basically, but another faction says, okay, look, the plan to, you know, create a world government with Jerusalem at its capital is just not going to work right now, and it's much easier to make the EU a center of world government. And the thing you must understand about communism and the EU and even capitalism as it is now practiced in the United States, they're all forms of disguising hidden central control. In other words, it's all different forms of Babylonian tyranny. And unless you can see through that to the essence, and the essence is to look at where the money is coming from. Finance. I was a financial journalist for 20 years, and it took me a long time to figure out that finance is just propaganda. What finance really means, it's the human process of deciding what to do in the future. It's the idea of how do we navigate into the future. And that has been stolen from us by these people. That's why they need to control the central banks.
Well, they want us to feel, they want us to feel helpless, of course.
Yeah. People work for money, and they control the money. That's how they control the society. People who say the wrong things get fired, or killed, or marginalized, or invited in. That's how they control. It's through money. If Jesus Christ were alive today, when he was alive, he went to the temple, he overturned the money changers' tables. If he were alive today, he'd go to the Fed and he'd unplug the mainframe. That's what he would do.
Unplug the mainframe.
Absolutely.
Liberate the planet.
Absolutely. Just say, all right, enough of this. We're going to figure out a new way of doing this.
Well, if something doesn't happen soon, we're all going to hell in a handbasket. It looks pretty grim, as you well know.
Well, I mean, the United States is in a particularly grim situation, but fortunately, the rest of the world is still much freer, and
we'll
come to help the United States.
I've heard that. We are the black hole of the planet in some respects, I guess.
Yeah, but, I mean, think about it. The end game, I think these people are desperate. Cheney and Bush, you know, they've got 18 months left. The whole country is turned against them. Even the puppets in Congress, you know, people are onto the fact that they were put in there by people with money, not by people with votes.
Yeah, well, they completely turn into something else when they show up in Washington, D.C. Their constituents no longer matter. The betrayal factor here is off the scale. It's unbelievable. The treasonous behavior of Congress, the traitorous actions of those at the highest levels of government is almost unimaginable.
We have to remember, these people are scared, okay? They are being threatened with murder at the highest levels. These people, you know, like Edward Kennedy. I mean, look, these people, they killed General Patton, they killed the Kennedys, they killed Martin Luther King. They murder. And you know, most decent people who want to go into politics think about making people's lives better. And they don't know how to deal with a gang of murderers, especially a very old, sophisticated...
That's a very good point. It's gangsters. That's what's there running the show. You're right.
And that's why you need gangsters to fight gangsters. And this is where these Asian people come in. They know how to do a gang war. And the first phase, which is what I've initiated right now, is the shouting match. You say, look, you know, you better listen. And if they don't listen, then we go to the next phase.
What's the timetable on this, Ben?
I cannot discuss that. You know,
Okay.
You can't let people know what you're going to do.
I understand.
But I'll tell you something interesting. There is a force of 3,000 ninja assassins, okay? Now, these ninjas are 2,000-year-old cult or whatever of school of martial arts. One of their specialties is sneaking into fortified compounds and murdering important people.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about these ninjas, okay, is that they're white people. They're not Asians. And they're working for the U.S. Special Forces. And they were trained by the Japanese, and they understand the true state of power in the U.S., and they're willing to act when the time comes. So I hope you're listening out there, Mr. Cheney and Mr. Rockefeller, because we have someone close to each of you. They can be turned into dead meat in a matter of hours. I'm not bluffing. And I'm hoping it doesn't come to that. I'm a decent human being. I'm a journalist. I do not want any death. Not one. But if it comes to it, they'll all be slaughtered. They'll be hunted down like beasts, and every one of them will be killed until they agree to the terms I mentioned before.
How does the Chinese government interface with this, if at all?
Well, they have people right up to the highest levels of the Chinese government in the society, and they do have areas where their interests coincide, and one of them, of course, is stopping genocide. So, you know, right now they're not fighting the Chinese government. They are therefore kind of semi-tolerated. They don't, you know, right now it's a sort of state of uneasy truce. But, like I say, they're separate. They have separate headquarters, separate organization, a totally separate history. But when it comes to stopping genocide, they're in total agreement. And so I'm sure that Chinese government resources could be made available to us if it came to that.
In that, your organization that to which you purport to represent is threatening, apparently, people with death. Could that not be construed by the Department of Homeland Security, not that I expect to hear your knees knocking with fear, as some sort of terrorism being issued over this program?
It's not terrorism. It's saying if you don't stop killing people, if you don't stop killing us, we'll have to defend ourselves. It's not terrorism to defend yourself. It's self-defense. They're doing the killing. They're the ones out there murdering people and carrying on genocide. They're the ones who are planning this incredible mass slaughter, not us. So if there are any terrorists, it's the speck in the, you know who they are. It's the Illuminati. They're the real terrorists. Everybody knows that by now. We're trying to stop terrorism. Our point is we don't want to kill a single person, nobody, not one.
And you have apparently presented a method by which that can be achieved without anyone dying.
Yes. Think about the $1 bill. You have the eye and the pyramid, right? The eye represents people who set the human race to the job of pyramid building, right? And what you have to do is very important. It's very, very centralized, this thing. Very centralized. Target the eye. Forget about their flunkies. Forget about their employees, their servants. They're just have no choice. They're innocent. Even the people on the Council on Foreign Relations, Bilderberg, most of them are decent people who would really not like to be part of this but have no choice. So the trick is to go right for the very, very top.
Dr. John Coleman, in his book, Conspirators Hierarchy, the Committee of 300, did name names for the first time years ago. The book is in its fourth or fifth edition now, and it was quite centralized. Now, did you turn over a list of people to this secret society at one point?
Yes. So what I did was I got there's a lot of these lists in Japan, but basically it's all the descendants of the original banking families that took over the Fed.
Mm-hmm.
All the male descendants, okay? They won't kill females. And the extended other Illuminati families, you know, the names, the Warburg, mm-hmm. Morgan, Schiff, mm-hmm. et cetera. Everybody knows the names.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Bilderbergers and the Council on Foreign Relations, Skull and Bones, Scroll and Key, all these people. But the point is that what they do, the trick is to start at the very highest level and work your way down. They don't want to kill anybody if possible, but they would keep it to the minimum if possible. But if necessary, if it's the only way to stop the killing of hundreds and hundreds of millions of people, which is what they're trying to do.
Billions.
Then billions. Yeah, they're trying to kill billions of people. This is not a joke. This is reality. Then you have to stop them. There's no other choice. It's self-defense. It's not terrorism.
In Japan, have you made this public yet, Benjamin, or are you doing it here for the first time?
It's been made public in Japan. They know. It's in my book, my latest book. It came out about a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of stuff going on here. I've been in contact with the Japanese secret government. They're cooperating with me, and I repeat, their point is that they like the U.S.-Japan alliance. They like Americans. They like the United States. They don't want to pick a fight with America. But if there's some way of freeing them from the Rockefellers and these Illuminati, they would love that to happen. That's what they're coming, where they're coming from. And so they're cooperating to a certain extent. And negotiations are ongoing as to how to do this. But the plan I've given them, and it's on your website, is we make contact with Russia, China, India, the Muslim countries that aren't controlled by, Illuminati pawns, Latin American countries, everybody in the world, basically. And we all get together and say, okay, enough is enough. And just like that, it's like, pulling down the Iron Curtain or pulling away the curtain that's hiding the Wizard of Oz.
Knocking down the Berlin Wall. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, this all it takes is for people to say, wait a minute, enough is enough. Expose these people, show them to the world, and once people know who they are and what they're doing, they will be stopped.
Right.
Hello? The other thing is the lower down people, they think, for example, the people who support a world government based in the EU, they think it's about human rights and justice and law.
Got 10 seconds to the break, real quick. 10 seconds to the break.
All right, they're all Trumps, the people who support them, many of them. They don't know what's going on.
Okay. All right, stand by, Ben. We'll take a break, come back. Hour number three coming up in just a few minutes. Okay, we're back. Fascinating conversation tonight with Benjamin Fulford, former Asia-Pacific Bureau Chief of Forbes magazine for nearly 8 years. A Chinese secret society has issued, through Mr. Fulford, a life-or-death ultimatum to the Illuminati to stop the genocide, back off, and change course about 180 degrees. The Chinese also feel, according to Mr. Fulford, that SARS was, in fact, a biological weapon deployed to attempt to reduce the Chinese population by an extraordinary number of people. It didn't work for a variety of reasons, but it was clearly specifically able to affect and infect those of Asian descent. And again, look at the numbers of people in Canada who died of SARS. You can probably do a Google search and find the pictures of those people and see it's about 95% Asian. Okay, our conversation has covered some extraordinary ground so far. We have another hour to go. There are many places to go, but Ben, I hear you wanting to say something, but go right ahead, please.
Sure, I just want to make a point here. The William Shatner, the guy who played Captain Kirk in the Starship Enterprise, he was a Canadian. And as a Canadian, I'd be proud to serve in a U.S. ship like the Enterprise, going where no man has gone before.
Mm-hmm.
The sort of Kennedy's America, and that's what the world wants. See again. That's what everybody's wishing for.
Well, especially
and, but when I see the Americans captured by robber barons and subjected to Freudian Pavlovian mind control.
Well, and no better example than September 11th.
Yes, I have to fight to the death to help free my American brothers and sisters if it comes to that. Everybody wants America to be freed from these people, including the Americans, and it's just. When you really come down to it, it's a small number. All you have to do is expose them. That's the key. People have to know who they are and what they're up to. That's it. It could be like the Velvet Revolution, but a bloodless end to this. And that's what I'm offering them. And that's what, the American people should quickly realize. They can do it. They don't have to worry about fighting black helicopters or policemen or anything like that, because these people are just as much victims as everybody else.
Now, the black helicopters notwithstanding, the American public isn't going to really have to become directly involved in this if what you're saying is on the table now. I mean, the gauntlet is down. The gauntlet is down. The challenge has been made. And so Americans need to...
We'll try peaceful methods. And so, like I say, the plan I gave the Japanese government is We get the Russians, the Chinese, the Indians, everybody on Earth, basically, to say enough is enough. And it should just be a matter of announcing the fact that they will not buy any more U.S. government bonds until the U.S. government decides to change course.
Could the Chinese, Could the Chinese effectively decimate the American economy at this point with the holdings they have and the control that they do have over American economic and business interests?
Well, of course. Look, there's 10 times more dollars circulating around the world than the U.S. economy is worth, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And if people said, okay, we don't believe this dollar thing anymore, or better still, if they found, if they stopped, using oil and started burning water and other fuels, that would end it. But the thing is, I personally believe the U.S. Pentagon, the armed forces, could be the greatest force for good in the history of humankind. It's not who they are. It's not the organization. It's the job they've been given. They'd much rather be out there ending poverty and stopping environmental destruction than stealing oil for robber barons.
And well, so, speaking of robber barons, when Dov Zakheim was in charge of the Pentagon budget, some $3 trillion vanished. And no one's been able to track that yet. No one is even trying.
Yeah, no, there's a huge underground secret budget which they're using for this Armageddon plan, and people need to find out about this. You know, they're going to try to put on quite a show. They're really going to try to fool everybody thinking that these are end times. That's where I believe that money went to.
Mm.
Kind of huge smoke and mirror show, you know, on a global scale, like... It'll make 911 look like child's play.
Well, that's what most people are expecting who are watching this carefully, that something that big will have to happen to scare the wits out of what's left of American independence into utter subservience and domination. And it probably would work, given the fact that the electronic media is so overwhelmingly oppressive in its own right and clever and domineering.
Remember, there's six people who control these media. And
six corporations, that's right.
Yeah, but man, six people, really, when you come down to it. So, actually, I'd like to take this point time now to direct a message to Rupert Murdoch and Lord Thompson of Fleet. I strongly suggest to them that they confirm through their own sources that I am not bluffing, that this society is real. Mr. Murdoch could call anyone senior in the Taiwanese government, for example. Or Mr. Thompson could ask Chris McCullum of his Tokyo Bureau, and I can provide him with the proof. Well, they know that they would have to either stop applying propaganda to the American people
mm-hmm.
or find a deep hole and hide in it. They will realize this is not a bluff. These people are real. Mr. Murdoch has good Chinese connections. They'll realize that the tide has changed, and they will start providing people with the truth. You know, Mr. Murdoch, I think he'll do whatever the powers that be want. He doesn't have any personal agenda, but if he realizes he'll be protected, I think he's willing to turn.
Hard to believe Fox News telling us the truth, but yeah, okay.
Well, you know, he says it's just business. And he was here in Tokyo a while ago and said, yeah, look, I saw a marketplace, I saw a niche, I saw the demand, and so I went for it. You know, he's mm-hmm. just, I don't think he believes anything Fox News says personally. It's just business for him.
Mm.
He does something similar for the Chinese, you know, that appeals to Chinese xenophobia, you know, and it's just business for him.
You wrote a book about September 11th in Japan. how did it sell? Pretty well?
Well, there's 80,000 copies.
That's a bestseller six times over back in the States anymore.
And it was very influential. And the thing is that there was a big conference here, you know, a 911 conference. And,
yeah, sure. Mm-hmm.
And then I've had a couple of TV shows about 911 here on the network TV, of all things.
Go ahead.
They're much quicker to catch on to stuff like this than Americans. Because they've been subjected to a different type of brain control than the Americans. So what happened after World War II to the Japanese is they were subjected to the following kind of mind control. First of all, they were given an inferiority complex towards white people.
Mm-hmm.
They were made passive. They were made so they didn't have opinions. And they work hard. And then to think that America's a wonderful, wonderful country. And any time anyone got too smart, the other thing was they made sure that there would be no geniuses. This was how their plan. This is how they keep Japan under control. And then when people do get smart, well, they either co-opt them or they kill them.
You're talking about
like
the Rockefellers.
They had to kill at least four. Yeah, they've had to kill at least four prime ministers in the post-war era.
That was in Henry Mako's article. That was one of the most interesting claims. Yeah, four dead and over 200, I guess, major Japanese figures.
Yes, I've interviewed seven Japanese prime ministers. Mm-hmm. And captains of industry and members of security police and senior gangsters. I have very good sources. I have everything on tape. I have enough evidence to convict David Rockefeller of at least three murders related to the recent takeover of the Japanese banking system. I have, you know, this is how I got into this. This is why I got so deep inside, is because I followed the trail all the way up until I actually hit the finance minister, who then, and that's when suddenly I was given this gold badge, which is the analog version of the gold chip, I guess they're planning to put in their, you know, their elite servants.
Mm-hmm.
What they've done to the Japanese people has been truly horrible. You know, everyone thinks it was a wonderful thing that, you know, the Japanese people love the American people. They do. But at the same time, they hate the Rockefellers, and they think of them as these horrible dictators who are terrorizing both the Americans and the Japanese.
Well, the other losers of World War II, the German people, paid a terrible price as well, of course.
Oh, yeah. I learned that from your website. I mean, they killed all those people after the war.
Yeah, millions.
Yeah, what they did to Germany was absolutely horrible, too. You know, they like to talk about the Holocaust, but right now there's a 48 million people dying of starvation every year. That's, you know, so many more times the Holocaust happening right now, and they're not doing anything about it.
No, it doesn't even make the papers over here.
The Pentagon, like I was saying before, could be the greatest force for good in human history. All you have to do is give them the job of saving the planet. You know, the amount of money, this is how I got into this whole thread in the first place, is I realized the Japanese could end poverty and stop all environmental destruction and have change left over if they just use their surplus for the good of the planet. And when I asked them why they didn't, I ended up finding out it was because they were slave people, and they would be murdered if they tried to spend their own money that way.
Hmm.
But I do believe the people in the Pentagon would love to go out there and save the planet, and they'd be much happier with that job than
killing
explore
people.
The universe.
Mm-hmm.
Than killing people for robber barons. And I'm asking people now, I'm calling for people, loyal Americans and the CIA, the NSA, people in the Pentagon, to take your country back. Realize that the democracy is in danger, and their oath is to the Constitution, not to the dictators, not to the bankers.
Well, that's a key expression which I made mention of many times, as did thousands of other Americans on this 4th of July just passed, that we should all read the Constitution and Bill of Rights again, especially the people we voted for and sent to Washington to represent our country in our local areas. Back in a few minutes with Benjamin Fulford, live from Tokyo. Okay, talking with Benjamin Fulford in a program that many of you won't forget. September 11th, we know quite a bit about it over here. There's a lot of disinformation, as you know, on the Internet, government agents, agents provocateurs trying to muddy the waters, but we've got a pretty good handle on the whole thing. How did it look to you over there, and what are your thoughts about who was behind it, directly or indirectly, or both?
I think this was something they planned for a long time.
An Illuminati operation, in other words.
Yes, an Illuminati operation. You know, that's the thing that really stops most people who still don't understand about 9-1-1 is you say, well, wait a minute. This happened to me, too, I think. Well, how come the New York Times isn't writing about it? Why isn't it on the TV? Why doesn't
Well, somehow Americans have got to be shaken out of that stupor and understand that those media are controlled by, as you say, essentially six people.
Right.
That's the real problem here. Opposition to the government, to the killers, to the gangsters, has no platform. They're shut out of the mainstream media. They've got the Internet, which, of course, is rampant with all kinds of operators and people who are out to do nothing other than slander, libel, cause fights, and issue false data. So it's a tough one for people to get through. And without the Internet, it would probably be over by now.
Yeah, I know. It's the internet and websites like yours that help people like me, you know, figure out finally what's going on. I mean,
oh, thank you.
I got the you know, I started, what happened to me was I got exposed the corruption in Japan. I started as a financial journalist, and I realized that all the bad debt was controlled by gangsters, which really didn't make sense. You know, hundreds of billions of dollars controlled by gangsters. So I went and I started talking to the gangsters, the Japanese gangsters, and they told me they're middlemen. They take a 30% commission.
Hmm.
So you have hundreds of billions of dollars disappearing somewhere. And I followed the thread and I realized, you know, the Japanese government is totally corrupt. Everything we're reading about in the Japanese newspapers is a lie, right? And I wrote two chapters of a book that was going to be so explosive, and it was in English, that I would have to leave Japan or be killed. I sent them to my agent. The next day, I got a call from the granddaughter of the Meiji Emperor. Out of the blue, she says, you know, you should not get the Yakuza angry, right? And she told me that a goddess had called to intervene and tell me. And it turns out this goddess was the Japanese security police. They'd obviously been, you know, looking at my email. But they said, you don't understand what's really going on. And she gave me this Yvonne Kleist video, you know, in plain sight. And as soon as she gave me that, I said, oh, no, this is this anti-Semitic nonsense. I'm going to watch it. How can this lady, she's a princess, how can she believe stuff like this? But she kept bugging me. I watched it. And, you know, I've been an investigative journalist for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the difference between true information and BS.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started a long trail of research. And once I was sure this was a government plot, the next thing is, well, my God, well, how could it be so big? I mean, this is just too huge to comprehend. The amount of people that would have to be involved is vast. You know, and then the truth is so big and so horrendous that people just shy for it. But I basically think you have to go all the way back to, as I said, Hammurabi, the original Babylonian dictator, and the cult of leadership, and the Freemasons, their history goes right back there. It's a collective of slave drivers. These are the people who originally literally did have people make pyramids, and they controlled them by controlling their food supply. And now they control them by controlling their money supply. And that's, their history is so long, and their techniques are so sophisticated. But, you know, folklore has been aware of these people. They've called them different names over the years. You know, Beelzebub, Mammon, Set, Lucifer, Satan. But there's nothing otherworldly about it or metaphysical. These are a real group of people, an ancient sect of Babylonian slave drivers. And that's the hard truth. And they want to enslave the entire planet, and that's what they're trying to do. And we must stop them. People have to know. This is how deep you have to go into history. I believe Jesus Christ was a rebel against these people, and he was one of their enemies because he said all men are created equal and free before God. And you should love thy neighbor, stuff like that, and take care of the poor.
Other great beings have issued the same message, of course.
Absolutely.
History.
Muhammad, I think, kicked them out of the Islamic world, basically. And that's why, you know, and Tsarist Russia fought them for a very long time, and now they're free again. There's a lot of free countries. Italy kicked them out with the P2 scandal. That's a great scandal to look at to see exactly how
that was,
people operate.
People over in the States don't even know anything about that. That was a monumental development, a monumental watershed in Italian history. Hammurabi, Abraham,
yep.
Secret Jewish sect, Zionist sect, becoming an Illuminati sect. What about that? How do we? You're going all the way back. What?
Yeah.
What
okay. You have to go. So you follow the thread. Moses. You know, like what he did. If you think about it, I mean, this is my understanding of it. Is they dumped a lot of poisonous red mineral in the Nile River. Right?
Okay.
And that poisoned the crops. That's why you have the story of the Nile running red. It was a slave revolt. It was a fight between two different slave drivers or whatever. And he used the eco-terrorism. And, you know, he slaughtered lots of Egyptians. They eventually lost, and they fled into what is now Israel. And they were then, you know, kicked out by the Romans and scattered all over the place.
This is the same group, Ben, that's been kicked out by virtually every developed society on record.
Yeah, so it's, the Jews are there. Many of them have been enslaved by them, but it's not a Jewish thing, really. It's more secret than that. They're hidden even from the Jews.
Right. Well, we study World War II and the involvement of Zionism with the Holocaust. We see it quite clearly. Stand by just for a minute or two. We have to take a break. Come right back with Mr. Benjamin Fulford, live from Tokyo. Okay, let's get right back to Mr. Ben Fulford talking about some pretty amazing things. His great-grandfather, a benefactor of Nikola Tesla, and was murdered for his efforts. Tesla, it is said by some, was kept basically in the last several decades of his life almost a prisoner in a way. All of his work was watched, and some pretty unfortunate way to end a brilliant life like that, one of the great men of history.
Yes, the 20th century was a total tragedy. I mean, it should have been, humanity was on the verge of something like a Cambrian explosion. When you have unlimited free energy, the possibilities are so mind-boggling that you can't even fully understand, but it would be just wonderful. I mean, it'd be like everyone's a billionaire. I mean, it's just...
Well, the potential was there, you're right, to create the beginning, and in fact establish a golden age for humanity in the last century, but instead, how many millions? 100 million died in wars, at least?
At least 100 million. You know, the Americans killed, I don't know how many tens of millions after the war. I mean, it was a... And more to the point, they suppressed technology.
Oh, yeah. There's so much tech. We have had videos recently, Ben, of one man who used to own a television station able to pull hydrogen right out of salt water and burn it right on the spot. I mean, it's the energy
Japanese
is all there.
Yeah. The Japanese had that technology 30 years ago.
Right.
Another technology they have that's being suppressed is you can generate unlimited energy by taking advantage of the difference in temperature between the surface of the ocean and the bottom.
Yeah, it's called geothermal exchange, right?
Well, it's like you pump methane down to the bottom of the ocean, it turns into liquid, then it comes up and it turns into gas again.
That's
and
another one, right.
Infinite electricity and rivers worth of fresh water.
And the same thing on land with geothermal. But yeah, there are so many out there, and they're clearly all being mothballed and locked away. They have no plans for us other than slavery. That's their plan.
Yeah. If you talk to that guy who burned water in Florida, okay, just see what's happened to him since. I bet he's had some pretty thuggish visitors.
Well, they almost all seemingly do. Some have died, unusually early deaths as well.
Mm.
Others just vanish, and you hope that they have not been killed. But yeah, there's so many stories like this I've seen over the years. They were pulling electricity out of the ground in the 1870s and 80s, for goodness sakes. I mean, it's there.
It's a crime. I mean, they're trying to lobotomize the human race and stop human progress.
They're doing a pretty good job of it so far. The Chinese, by the way, had, as you know, I don't know if you remember the year, but I think it was 2001, a goal of putting a television set in every household in China, because that is the instrument of oppression, of manipulation, of control, of conditioning, of shaping, of molding.
Sure, but you know what? The Chinese have their own idea for democracy, right? Which you cannot totally write it off. What they're saying is democracy using paper every 4 years is kind of low-tech and out of date. You can have real-time live democracy on the Internet through opinion polls and through chat rooms, and that's a much better way of, making sure public opinion is reflected in public policy.
Well, it's electronic. It's all something that can be manipulated if it's electronic. But you raise a good point, and if it were somehow to be guaranteed to be legitimate, it would be fascinating. Let me ask you a question. What do you and your backers think of Vladimir Putin and Russia standing tall against the Rothschilds over the issue of the missiles in Europe and other East-West problems? They've refused now to extradite the Russian businessman who the British and Berezovsky and the Rothschilds say was the murderer of Litvinenko with polonium-210. They won't extradite the man. So there's really some very, very big power dynamics at work with respect to Russia and their new technology and Vladimir Putin, who is supposed to leave office next year, although many Russians would prefer he stay, I'd suggest. But what do you think of him?
Well, I think what he's done is great. I mean, he kicked out Berezovsky, who I, you know, by the way, my friend and the former Forbes Moscow bureau chief was shot 10 times in Russia, taken to the hospital, and he died in the elevator. The elevator stopped, and he was stuck for 8 minutes, and that's where he died. And he was investigating Berezovsky before he died. Now, we don't know if Berezovsky did it, but I suspect it. But these were all Rockefeller-Rothschild proxies. Berezovsky, Khodorkovsky, and Yezhlev. And by kicking them out, he freed Russia. And this is a huge setback for him. There was a Japanese politician by the name of Koki Ishii who married a Russian woman and was close with the Russian government. He was stabbed through the heart with a sword in front of his house. But before he died, he was given a manuscript by Putin's former boss in the KGB. And he wanted it translated into Japanese, you know, to let people know what happened, you know, in Russia, how they freed them from these Illuminati. And although the book hasn't been translated yet into Japanese, his daughter Tanya, you know, conveyed the gist of it to me. And so I know that Putin is not an Illuminati agent. And we will be making contact with Putin, you know, later. And maybe he'll hear through this that he has a 6 million-man secret army that was willing to ally him. Itself with him to put an end to this madness.
Well, quite clearly, the Rothschilds and the Illuminati view Russia as the prize that got away, and they want it back. I think the ejection of the oligarchs that you've touched on, that I've touched on and described in great detail with guests on this program for a long time now, is one of the most important geopolitical, social, cultural, national issues of maybe of our times. I mean, this is a monumental change. What happened to Russia?
Yeah, I mean, they've been free for the first time since 1917.
And they remember who enslaved them and who ground the life out of them nearly for the better part of a century, and they don't like those people at all.
Yeah, and we're going to ally with them, you know. And the other thing is that I believe the Japanese are also about to kick them out, and that'll be it. It'll be end for these people. I believe we're at the end game, and...
That goes hand in hand with what you're saying about they're desperate.
Yes, but if these people end, I think literally it would be such a big change that it would be worth calling it the New Age. It really would, because humanity would suddenly have so much potential freed. These people, they're trying to lobotomize, they suppress technology, they distort academics and science. You know, they fund all the academics who publish their propaganda, and then they ostracize those who don't. When I start reading in New Scientist magazine, which is an orthodox mainstream science magazine, about congressmen getting involved with trying to stop someone who's researching desktop fusion, you realize something is very wrong. It's like Galileo being called up in front of the, you know, Inquisition. What these people are doing is not only criminal, it's stupid. They could be so much richer than they are now and so much more powerful just by releasing all the human potential.
Well, what they're doing is they're essentially killing the goose that is laying the golden eggs for them. Your point is very well taken. Stand by, Ben. We'll take a break. Come right back in just a few minutes. Okay. We're back. Ben, anybody who studies the larger issues of pulling the big scam comes up with one of the most prominent potential scenarios being the ET card, or the extraterrestrial invasion trump card, the fake ET invasion with some advanced technology. What do you know about, and also anyone I should hasten to add who studies the issue of ET visitation, honestly and objectively, will come away with the conclusion that it's quite obvious we are being visited routinely and regularly by any number of different intelligent beings, races, species.
Well,
What is your take on it over there?
Okay, well, there was a guy who did the research years ago who said that, you know, the universe is 14 billion years old and it should have been filled up with aliens long ago, right? Now, I'm assuming if I were an ET and I saw the planet Earth, I'd quarantine it.
Well, or bring tourists here for a laugh, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, it's too dangerous. And also, I think it's like a precious little ecosystem. They don't want to interfere, you know. They want to let it sort of evolve according to its own wishes, but they'd love humanity to free themselves. Now, the Japanese Freemasons who invited me to join said that there was a planned, you know, arrival of a fleet of UFOs. I wouldn't, you know, which sounded me crazy. I thought maybe the Rockefellers were going to, you know, have been secretly manufacturing this fleet of UFOs to fake, you know, an Armageddon and alien landing scenario. So I would assume if there are aliens out there watching us, they feel sorry for us. They're hoping we, you know, they're cheering for, that we could, for us, that we can get rid of these bastards. And then they'll think that maybe the Earth is safe enough they can end the quarantine. That would be my take on it. You know, but I'm not an expert in this field.
I understand. It's a potential manipulating device that has been talked about,
you know,
for years.
I interviewed Bobby Inman, the former head of the NSA, came through Tokyo, right?
Yep.
And I asked him about the Rockefellers and the secret societies, right? And right away he said, are you a UFO guy? Right?
And that was one of the first things he said to you?
Yeah, so he, you know, I wasn't asking about you. I was asking about the Rockefellers and secret societies and the NSA and their relationship. And he says, are you a UFO guy? So I think what they try to do is they try to put some really wacky ideas and pack them on together with the real stuff to make people not believe it. So, you know, this stuff about reptilian people that David Icke's pushing, well, I think that's disinformation made to turn most people off from this whole, you know, idea that there's a vast conspiracy. So I'm trying to stay away from that and just stick to the planet Earth and what I can see in front of me and prove. You know, and when the aliens come, if they come, then it'll be known to everybody.
It is also known that the Chinese have an extraordinary number of people who are actively investigating this particular issue. I think the one organization had over 50,000 members. So they take it very seriously over there.
Yeah, here in Japan, too. I mean, a lot of the people who, you know, there's a place near Mount Fuji where they go to watch UFOs, and they can see a lot of them. There's a lot of weird movies. I think there's a military secret testing ground there, too, where they can see some of the... Because you got to remember, they also use the UFO story to hide the
all latest kinds of technology.
I mean...
Perfect screen, yeah.
Sure, the stealth planes, they were flying them for 20 years before they announced the public.
That's
who
right.
knows what they got?
That's
so.
Right.
You got to be very careful with this stuff, and I try to make sure that I talk in a way within the parameters of people in the mainstream.
You have to. If you're going to be a smart and effective journalist, you have to. What else did Inman say? He, of course, of the SAIC fame, that's CIA's backwards, CIAS,
right.
SAIC, that's the corporation he's the head of.
Interesting, yeah. Well, he said a lot of stuff. You know, the one thing, he was a member of the Trilateral Commission, which comes up in a lot of these conspiracy theories.
Sure.
And I've talked to members of the Trilateral Commission, and basically what happened was Bilderberg was racist, right? And so Rockefeller said, well, we need something where we can talk to the Japanese in secret, too, and the Bilderberg don't want them in their club, which is a white man's club, right? So they set up this other one, but then the Japanese who are members tell me that they wouldn't even listen to their advice anyway. So, you know, it's kind of dysfunctional, the Trilateral Commission. And Inman himself, he said, yeah, I was a member, but it was pointless. It was powerless, so I quit.
Really?
Yeah. But he's also a member of Bohemian Grove, and he says, yeah, I go there every year, and I give him my big spiel, you know, and and we go there to have fun, and, you know, what's the harm? I mean, that's the sort of story he's giving me. But, of course, he won't tell me what he says in his spiel, you know, but...
or talk about the owl, or the cremation of care, or any of the other rituals.
He revealed, you know, there are a whole scenario of bioterrorism and starvation. And
what did he say about bioterrorism? Did he say it was a viable thing and they were worried about it?
It was something they're worried about in the future together with starvation, you know?
They can starve people right now if they want to.
Well, they're, you know, Africa's got this new wheat blight that's destroying all their...
Listen, it's Monsanto and its Terminator seeds will make the world its instant prisoner. Instant. And they're pushing it through now. You have to buy the Monsanto seed every year because your crops are no longer seed themselves.
Right.
And pretty clever control. And then you got genetic modification of crops, which we know now is catastrophic for the health of laboratory rats and, in all likelihood, people. The evidence continues to pile up about that the Western diet is a fatal diet over time for anybody who engages in it, or virtually anyone. We know about all these things. What about chemtrails? And the spraying in the sky. We have not seen any photographs ever of chemtrails from China, from Russia, or from India.
There's none in Japan either. They won't let them.
All right.
So, you know,
you know about that, and you just said the Japanese won't allow it.
That's right.
Okay.
So it's they don't have that problem out here. But they do have a lot of, you know, hormones pumped into their food supply, making men impotent and
yeah, there's so many phytoestrogens in food and processed food now and processed soy and all kinds of foods, which are causing all kinds of problems in humans
sure.
and certainly in the amphibian world, as we know.
Yeah, you heard the story about Orientals having small, whatchamacallit. Well, they put something in the makeup the woman wore here,
mm-hmm.
which leads the children to be born, the male children, with small genitalia.
Really?
But they've been actually trying to emasculate these people, filling their system with female hormones.
Well, it said that they won't need the act of sex to procreate in the near future anyhow. They'll just grow it in a laboratory or whatever they want. If there's anyone around at that point anyhow. So without your people being able to pull off their ultimatum, I'm not saying they can or can't. I'm saying without that happening, it would seem that the planet is in store for a hell of a population reduction, continued environmental rape, pillage, plunder, and looting, and a potential complete collapse of the Earth's ecosystems.
Yes, I mean, that's what these people are doing. I mean, they are, you know, they think they're environmentalists, and the way they want to preserve the environment is by getting rid of, you know, excess people and, you know, creating wilderness zones.
Well, that's what Prince Philip said, if he could come back and reincarnate as something. You know the story.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, these people are very high. Maybe I'll send you later. I have a kind of flow chart of the Illuminati power structure, you know, but just to get back to that whole thing, I mean, of the people, once they were spread around by the Romans, these secret society, you know, they had useful skills. I mean, emperors loved to build monuments, and these people are monument builders. And they were good at you know, accounting, right, controlling the finances. So wherever they went, they made themselves friendly with kings. And so their influence is everywhere, and they have this secret society. Again, this has nothing to do with the Jews. It's a separate thing. It's a secret satanic society whose members are who are atheists.
Arch-atheists.
Yeah, and they got control of some people in Central Asia called the Khazars, right?
I know, and they adopted Judaism in the 9th century. I know the story.
Yeah, and they were attacked by the Mongols and the Russians, and their elite fled with the treasure. Part of them fled into Europe.
China? And the rest went to Europe. They split, pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, and the ones who went to Europe eventually intermarried with the royal families, and they got their big break when they started financing all the royal families against Napoleon. And they've since basically intermarried with all the old aristocracy, and there's this group of interbred families. And that is the Illuminati. And their number one man is David Rockefeller. Their two and three are Philip Rothschild and Jay Rockefeller. Just remember those three names at the very least. And don't forget Lord Carrington out there in England. You know, but we all know who they are. That's the thing about them.
We have just 2 minutes. What is the role of the Catholic Church in all this, if any?
I believe the Catholic Church has been fighting them. I went to a Jesuit university. These guys wore secondhand clothing, and they live in shabby apartments.
Mm-hmm.
The Freemasons I've met all have huge fortunes and live like pigs. And that tells me a lot.
Mm.
I think the Catholic Church has been fighting them, and I think they'll be an important ally with Russia.
Well, I don't know. It's interesting to see them talking about Tony Blair's conversion, formal conversion to Catholicism, and the Pope going to name him to be the papal envoy for peace in Jerusalem. If there's any truth to that story, which was all widely circulated, that's getting pretty weird.
Yeah, well, the Roman Catholic Church is a huge organization with many factions. I'm sure they're heavily infiltrated, but I do not believe that the entire institution is corrupted.
Mm.
But I don't know. I'm not a Catholic. My parents are atheists. I'm agnostic. I'm not agnostic. I believe God is too big to fit into any particular religion.
Well, you bet. I'll second that. We're just about out of time, Ben. Anything you want to leave us with this visit tonight?
Yeah, just remember, these people are for real, and just remember, get the eye. That's the secret. Grab the eye, and humanity will be freed. That's the message.
All right. Thank you very much, Ben Fulford, for being here. I look forward to another conversation. If I can help you, let me know.
All right. Thanks. It's been a great honor.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Right.
Good night.
Bye.
Benjamin Fulford, live from Tokyo. You know, there's a conversation to remember. Do read Henry Macko, PhD's article at Rents.com. Just think about it. As I often say, there is a lot to think about. And that is certainly something unique and something I've not heard before, and I, again, think it merits revisiting, that probably more than a few of you out there are saying, wouldn't that be nice if everything could change with no one having to die? Okay, we'll be back in 21 hours.